There is a very interesting chapter in the Life Divine. It's called the Problem of Will, Problem of Life. One full chapter is given on the problem of life. And he points out that the problem of life is that in human beings, knowledge and will are diverse from each other. There has been a division between knowledge and will. And that is the problem of life. We are all in the state of division. As a result, what we will is not backed by knowledge. What is known is not translated into will. And that is why all the problems of life, ultimately, if you analyze, you take any problem of life, you will find that problem arises from the... When does one not understand? You know, mother has written, very often teachers have the habit of telling children, oh, you won't understand. When you grow up, you will understand, not now. And mother said, this is not a good answer. If you cannot explain to the children, it is your fault, not the child's fault. It means that the teacher has not really properly made his effort. So when you said, there is something which you don't understand, I want to make an effort, so allow me to make an effort. First, when the words are difficult, the meanings of the words are not clear. When the concepts are not clear, or else when the contexts are not clear, when the words are difficult, when the meanings of words are not clear, when concepts are not clear, when contexts are not clear. Can you think of any other context in which you don't understand? Now, Thorbjorn, even if you are sitting that far, tell me which of these reasons do you feel present when the statement, meanings are not clear, right? Meaning of the word virtue and the word knowledge, right? Meanings of these two words are not clear. Alright, so let us now deal with these two questions. What is the meaning of virtue? And what is the meaning of knowledge? I will first give one meaning, then others can give other meanings, and then try to arrive at a clear meaning. First, the meaning of the word virtue. Virtue is a state of mind, or it is an expression of the state of a mind. Let us take an example of a state of mind, an expression of the state of the mind. I take a state of mind which is called forgiveness, and then expression of that state is to forgive. Now tell me, is the meaning of forgiveness clear? What is the meaning of forgiveness? Forgiveness is regarded as a virtue, is an example of a virtue, the state of mind. And then when you forgive somebody, it's an act of forgiveness. So state of mind of forgiveness gives rise to an act of forgiveness, expression. Now, what is forgiveness? Let us understand what is forgiveness. We use this word very often, but sometimes we don't think about these words. Sometimes we don't understand the words that we use, or we are not very clear. One of the best examples of the state of forgiveness is Christ on crucifixion. You have heard the story of Christ. Have you? Christ was on crucifixion. He was nailed on the cross. You can see the pain when somebody or one is nailed, feet and the hands, and the crown of thorns on the head. He was sentenced to death in this fashion. Why was he sentenced? You know the story of Jesus? Yes? Can you tell me why was he sentenced? Because he brought a new concept, namely that of love. And that was not liked by many people. So, but actual story if you read, according to the story, he was accused of claiming that he was the king. He had declared, I am the king. He had spoken to people, I am the king. So those who did not like him, because he had brought this new concept of love, they picked upon this sentence and said, Christ, Jesus has declared that he is the king. Many people loved him very much. Many, large number of people loved him. Crowds and crowds used to come to listen to him. But there were others who were threatened that their authority, and as a result, they were trying to find out how Christ, how Jesus can be eliminated. This was their mental condition. They wanted to get rid of Jesus so that this new concept does not come up and their authority is not affected. This was the idea. Then they picked up this sentence which was spoken by Jesus, I am the king. Now what was wrong in saying I am the king? Supposing you say I am the king, is there something wrong in it? So you must understand the condition in which people were living at that time to understand why this sentence was extremely difficult to bear on the part of the authorities. When Jesus was living at that time, the area where he was living, Nazareth, Jerusalem, Palestine, these were parts of the Roman Empire. And Roman Empire was ruled by Roman Emperor. So only one person can claim that he is the king, and that is the Roman Emperor. He was the only king. If anybody else says, I am the king, then it contradicts the power and authority of the Roman Emperor. So nobody else can claim that he is the king. Surely Jesus was not the Roman Emperor, and yet he said, I am the king. Therefore, his enemies made a complaint to the representative of the Roman Empire and said, here is a man who is claiming that he is the king, and thus he is the enemy of the Roman Emperor. Therefore, he should be eliminated. This, in simple terms, was the argument. And when Jesus was asked, is it true that you are claiming that you are a king? He said, I have spoken the truth. That was his answer. I have spoken the truth. Now he was speaking not of being a king of the Roman Empire, but his doctrine was, I am the Son of God, and the Son and the Father are one. And the Father, that is God, is the king of the world. Therefore, I am the king. That was the meaning that he had in his mind when he spoke these words, I am the king. So when Jesus said, I have spoken the truth before the judge, when he said these words, there was, of course, a lot of argument, what is the truth, etc., etc. But ultimately, the decision that was taken was, so he was asked to wear a crown of thorns. He was asked to carry his cross on a high altitude. He had to climb up. Then the cross was fixed and Jesus was nailed. You can imagine the pain that one is nailed alive. And he bled. There was bleeding. The blood ran out of his body. Now in that difficult moment, he made a prayer. So imagine the condition of his consciousness. He made a prayer. Father, forgive them. He spoke about those who were crucifying him. And he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they are doing. For they know not, they do not know what they are doing. He himself was in a state of forgiveness. His mind was serene. He had no anger towards those who were crucifying him. On the contrary, he wanted that they should be forgiven. And the reason he gives is very important.
for they know not what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. Therefore, they deserve to be forgiven. So his understanding was that they are doing a wrong thing. It is true, they are doing a wrong thing. But they are doing wrong thing because they do not know what is right. Meaning thereby that if they knew what was right, they wouldn't do it. It's an illustration of virtue is knowledge. If they knew what is right, they wouldn't do it. Now this is the state of forgiveness in which even when wrong is done to you, you want that that wrong is wiped out. That is the state of forgiveness. A state of forgiveness is a state in which there is a wish that what is wrong is wiped out, is annulled, does not exist anymore. This is the definition of the word forgiveness. A genuine state of consciousness in which there is an utter sincerity that the wrong which has been committed is wiped out. That is a state of forgiveness. Jesus had this state constantly present in his consciousness. You have heard very often the expression forget and forgive. When you use the word forget means whatever has happened, let it be wiped out. Don't take into account. When you are genuinely convinced that what you have done was wrong, then this state automatically comes up in your consciousness. And somebody has been hurt. Genuinely, because of your fault, you should not have done it. You have become angry with somebody, and then afterwards you realize, oh, I should not have been angry. It was wrong on my part to have been angry. Then the person with whom you are angry, you go to him and say, please forgive. Forget and forgive. Please forget. Please wipe it out. Wipe out what I have done to you. Then it is cleaned, as it were. Forgiveness cleans up the evil. It no more exists. Just as with the coming of light, darkness disappears. Similarly, with the state of forgiveness and with the act of forgiveness, if it is genuine forgiveness, that act is wiped out. This is one of the great examples of a virtue. A virtue is a state of consciousness in which an evil is sought to be wiped out. This is a good example of virtue, right? In general, you may say a virtue is a state in which all that is hurtful, all that is untrue is wiped out. Just as light is a state in which darkness cannot exist, similarly, virtue is a state in which anything that is hurtful, anything that is untrue, anything that is crooked, twisted, cannot exist. Now, what is knowledge? This is another term. The word virtue, now we have understood. Now we come to the word knowledge. What is knowledge? It is also a state of consciousness. Just as virtue is a state of consciousness, similarly knowledge is also a state of consciousness. A state of consciousness in which what is true is known as true. That is the definition of knowledge. A state of consciousness in which what is true is known as true. Knowledge is a state of consciousness in which what is true is known to be true. Now, the question is, what is true? The simple answer is, that which exists is true. The question is, what does exist? The answer is, all that we see around exists. Now, Socrates and Plato did not accept this answer. This is an important point. All that we see around do not fully exist. All that we see around are particulars. I see this tree. It is only a particular tree that I see. So if somebody says, what is it that exists? And I say, look, this tree exists. Then Socrates and Plato would say, it is only a partial existence. Apart from tree, many other things are also existing. So if you say, what exists? And he says, tree exists. His answer is, it's only a partial answer. What tree is only a partial existence, only a particular thing that exists. It's not the whole that exists. So, Socrates and Plato said that only the totality can be said to be existing. Anything that is particular is only partially existing. Only the totality fully exists. They use also the word universal. Only the universal exists.
particulars are only partially existent. Now comes a further statement, which is very important.
Now repeat this sentence.
Knowledge is a state of consciousness in which
what is true is known to be true. What is true? That which exists is true. What fully exists? Universal fully exists.
Therefore, knowledge is a state of consciousness in which
the universal is known as universal.
When you know a particular, Socrates and Plato said, this knowledge of a particular should not be called knowledge, it should be called opinion. Opinions are always partly true and partly false. Therefore, opinions cannot be treated as knowledge. Now, the whole thing becomes very clear, the whole doctrine, which I now state again in the following words.